Great. Morning, church. How are you all? Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a new language. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for many more new languages to come. Lord, we thank you for Salisbury House. Lord, we pray that many, many more healings will happen over at Salisbury House. And we ask you to bless Ewan and the guys that bring these men into this house. Your house, Lord. Lord, I just pray for my sister up the back there. I pray for her husband. And I pray for continued healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to that cancer that was spoken about and we say we shrivel it up. We speak to it directly and we say keep on shriveling up those tumours to full health and healing in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we pray for more divine appointments, hallelujah, during our week. And Lord, we just pray as we pray and fast, Lord, that we're going to see you move mightily in our lives. And we say this in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Amen. Well, before I get into the word this morning, if you're visiting here, a really warm welcome. And hope you felt the presence of the Lord. I certainly have. I've been crying down the front there. That's why I love, if you're a crier, come down the front because then no one can see you. And you can really, really sense a lot of the presence of the Lord. As soon as you get back, right at the back, all you people at the back, you're looking at all the back of the heads, aren't you? And you get easily distracted. So the further up the front you are, the less distracted you are. Because I'm a very distracted person. All right, Adonai, Lord and Master. Actually, I forgot to change that. It shouldn't be capital R, capital O, capital R, capital D. It should be in lowercase. So apologies for that. Adonai. Because actually, as I'll explain later, that's actually Yahweh. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But I'll explain that in a minute. You know, names are important to us, aren't they? We use them to define our relationships. You know, to some I am pastor. To others I am dad. And to others, I'm Kerry. But to each one of those names and titles means something different. In other words, each name describes a different aspect of my relationship with those who are addressing me. This is also true of God. Our God is one God, but he is so complex that no one name can adequately describe him. Now, we've already looked at some of the names, El Elyon, God Most High, and Elohim, God our Creator. See, the name we're going to get to know today is Adonai. And it's used over 300 times in the Old Testament, and it's a bit difficult to see in our English Bibles because many translations use two different renderings of the name to make a distinction between Yahweh and Adonai. Now, Yahweh appears with capital letters in your Bible. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Different. Okay? And Adonai is Lord, capital L, little O, little R, little D. All right? So when you're reading your Bible and you see Lord in capitals, it actually means Yahweh. When you see Lord, capital L, little O-R-D, it means Adonai. Okay, so you got that? All right. Now, we'll be looking at Yahweh in a few weeks' time. But in the singular, the word Adon, right, often refers to master. And it's also defined as lord or owner. And it's used how slaves speak to their masters and subjects to their kings. Now, when we say God is Adonai, we are stating that he is Lord of all and that he is supreme over his subjects. Now, let's specifically look at three ways in your outline. God is the Lord and Master. So, number one in your outline. We're going to move. I can smell that food. It's 10:47. But I want you to, bring you this message. I think it's important. Adonai is Lord over all. So the name Adonai implies ownership. And when this name applies to God, it is referring to a complete and total ownership of everything that is. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, the name Adonai is used for the first time. So in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 15, 1 to 6, and this is read from the NRSV, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord, Yahweh, came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord Adonai, God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord, Yahweh, came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, Yahweh, and the Lord, Yahweh, reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now, in this passage of scripture, Abraham desires, right, to pass on his inheritance to his own child. But at this point, he didn't have one. So he calls upon the Lord, and when he does that, he addresses him by the name Adonai. And it is the first time we see this in scripture. As I said before, the name Adonai means Lord and Master. Abraham was recognizing that God was the Lord and the Master of the circumstances he found himself in. Only Adonai, as Lord of all, had the power to answer his prayer. So he petitions Adonai for help in the situation. See, the name Adonai signifies ownership and mastery. That is, he's not only Elohim, the creator of the universe, but the word of God states that he is also Adonai, the owner of the universe. He is the creator of the universe, and he's also the owner of the universe. Completely different to something like this. Someone created this Roland RD-170, but the creator doesn't own it. Kay owns it. She can do whatever she likes. However, the creator has the rights to it. Okay? And he can create it again and again and again. See, Abraham stood that the one that he had acknowledged as Lord could change his circumstances. Think of the absolute ridiculousness of his request if God was truly not Lord of all. Can you imagine asking such a thing of a mere mortal? Abraham understood that God was not only open to being approached, but that he had the power to accomplish what Abraham was asking him for. Now, Adonai did accomplish exactly what Abraham asked him for, and so much more than that. So while we cannot apply God's promise to Abraham each and every situation, we can apply the principle of God's ability to do what seems impossible to us, because he is Lord and Master of all. He can part the seas. He can heal blinded eyes. He can heal legs. He can heal people to walk again, as well as get your finances under control, will give you the wisdom that you need in any given situation through reading his word. Now, from the great to the mundane, Adonai is Lord over all. And when we begin not only to understand that truth intellectually, but begin to apply it to our lives, things will begin to change dramatically. Now, we're committed to transformation in Jesus' name. We have to understand that he is Lord, capital L, little o, little r, little d, of all. Number two, Adonai is Lord over the church. I want us to take some time to move into the New Testament because there we find the same application of Lord and Messiah and Master. In particular, we find that what was said of Adonai in the Old Testament was also said of Jesus Christ as Lord in the New Testament. Capital R, little O, little R, little D. In particular, we need to understand and accept that the fact that Jesus is Lord over his church. No denomination, no creed, no philosophy can take place of Jesus Christ as Lord. Because if it does, it no longer can rightly call itself a church or the church. Jesus is Lord and Master over this fellowship. One person agrees with me. I'll say it again. Jesus is Lord and Master over our fellowship. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 says, "We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." See, our goal as a church is to be a holy temple for the Lord. Now, that happens when our teachings are about Jesus Christ. That happens when our attitude is like that of Jesus Christ. That happens when our actions are like that of Jesus Christ. And that happens when everything that we do or say is absolutely committed to Jesus as Adonai, Lord. Now, we're not gathering here today for a social gathering or just some because we have a common belief system. We are here because individually and collectively we have dedicated our entire lives to Jesus Christ as our Master, haven't we? I could read you verse after verse after verse after verse after verse in the New Testament where it calls upon us as a church to be committed to Jesus Christ as Adonai, as Lord. John Mackenzie, some of you may know him, great quote, and I've got this up here. "If the church were to lose its hierarchy, its clergy, its vast collection of buildings, its stores of learning amassed over the centuries, even the text of its sacred books, had to face the world with nothing but the living presence of the risen Jesus and its mission to proclaim the good news to all nations and people, it would be no less a church than the church of Peter and Paul was." And I love this last bit. "Perhaps it might be more of a church than it is now." I think he's right on the money, don't you? In so many words, he's talking about this concept, this truth of Jesus being Lord over his church. You know, a mum once told this story. Every month she attended a Bible study at church, and she'd tell her three-year-old son, "We're going to God's house. Come on, we're going to God's house." And each time they walked through the quiet sanctuary on their way to the nursery, the son looked in awe and looked around. And this one particular day, he looked up at his mum and said, stopped abruptly and asked, Mummy, if this is God's house, how come he's never home?" May that question never have to be asked in this church. Because I'm committed and the leadership are committed, and I believe that you are committed to make sure that we consistently and continually to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord in this place. Amen? Adonai is Lord over this church, Hillside Church. Adonai is Lord over the Hillside Christian College. Adonai is Lord over Woolridge Country Estate, over HCCO, over Tabor Bible College, and over Gracie's. And Adonai is Lord over our homes. Amen. And with his help and guidance, the Holy Spirit, we're going to keep it that way. We have to. Number three, Adonai is Lord over my life. See, what happens? What is perhaps the most important to know is that Jesus is Lord over us personally and individually. And when we accept his son, Jesus Christ, we are voluntarily submitting to him as Lord over our lives. Consider this great truth from the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Adonai, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say that again. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, we say this, don't we? I believe you're Lord and Savior of my life. Do we know what we're saying when we say Lord, Adonai? For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Adonai and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What is it that you have to confess with your mouth? That Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Adonai. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is God or the Creator. We know that. Okay? It doesn't say, God, you are the Creator of the heavens and earth. Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D. It's saying, Lord. But it's saying that Jesus is our owner and our master, Adonai. You can't just accept Jesus as Savior and ask him to take your sins away, because the Bible teaches that we must also accept him as Lord, Adonai, as the master of our lives and the owner of our lives. You know, for many years as a young Christian, I had it in my head that Jesus saved my sins and that he was the creator of the world. I believed that. I believed it wholeheartedly, but I still chose to go down a different path. Because I didn't grasp the Lord. I didn't grasp Adonai. And I believe there's people in this room, just like me, that have never been taught this truth. I led a selfish and damaging life because I knew God was the creator of the heavens and earth, and so does the devil. And I knew that he saved me from my sins, and the devil knows that too. So I was walking through my life selfishly going, he's my creator and he forgives my sins. Giddy up. Tick, tick, tick. I can do what I want. So really, I wasn't really a Christian because I didn't accept him. I accepted him as my savior, but not as my Lord. Lord, I pray for a revelation right now in the hearts of these people. One of the things that made Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, such a great servant of God was that he immediately recognized the lordship of Christ when he was converted. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if they were found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Adonai, capital L, little O-R-D. Saul asked, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to him? Now get up. do. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Paul knew instantly. He knew instantly that the one who was calling him was to be Lord and Master over his life. You know, he went from persecuting Christians to prostrating before the Lord in a matter of seconds. Would to God we would have that same reaction to Jesus in all our areas of our lives if we fall prostrate before him. Hey. Surrendering our hearts and minds and actions over to him. Okay. I can't believe I said that. Wow. But anyway, Paul would later write in Romans chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, while we live to please the Lord. And when we die, we go to be with the Lord. So in life and in death, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, so that he might be Lord, Adonai, of those who are alive and of those who have died. You see, for the Christian, whether in life or death, it is all about Jesus being our Lord. Paul learned this lesson very quickly and went on to prove that he really believed Jesus is Lord through his ministry. One minute he's chopping them up and killing them and imprisoning them. Next minute, he's preaching the gospel. He's actually doing what they believed in the first place. He went from there to there in a bang, just like that. Now we're called to live to please the Lord, and we will spend the life to come into the presence of the Lord. He proved this by raising from the dead on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Now when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he proclaimed this. He said, "Let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord, Adonai, and Messiah." See, to receive Jesus as Lord and Messiah is to take him as our divine master, as the one whom we yield and the absolute confidence of our intellects, the one whose word we believe absolutely, the one that who we will believe, that, and the many and the wisest of men may question or deny the truth of his teachings. He is the one to whom we will gladly yield the absolute control over our lives, so that the question from the time on is never going to be these things here. And I believe we've all said these things. What would I like to do? What would I like to do? That's one of those selfish things that I did. What would I like to do? And sometimes I still do. What do others tell me to do? What do others tell me to do? What do others do? Oh, I like what they're doing. I'll go and do what they're doing. Or what would my Lord Jesus have me do? A right beginning involves an unconditional surrender to the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ. The failure to realize that Jesus is Lord and Master, as well as Savior, has led many a false start in Christian life, me included. I spent years with a false start to Christianity. We began with him as our Savior, as our sin bearer, our deliverer from the power of sin. But we must not end with him merely as our Savior. We must know him as our Lord and Master. There is nothing more important in the right beginning of a Christian life than an unconditional surrender to Jesus. We must surrender all to Jesus. Say from your heart and say it again. All for Jesus. All for I surrender all. All for Jesus. I surrender all. See, many fail because they shrink back and from this entire surrender. They wish to serve Jesus with half their heart, part of themselves and with part of their possessions. They got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You're all pretty quiet. You know, accepting Christ as your Lord and Master involves obedience to his will in each detail of life. There are those who claim that they have taken Christ as their Lord and Master, whom at the same time are disobeying him daily in business, in their family life, in their social life, and in their personal conduct. Such people are deceiving themselves. Ask yourself, am I one of these people Pastor Kerry is talking about? I'm sorry, but are you? Are you? I was. And it sucked. If I had been taught this as a young man, I wouldn't have done half the things that I had done. And the church needs to know about this. Because if we're just going to go on, I'll say miserable lives, if we walk out of here and we're not good to our wives, we're not good to our husbands, we're not good to our kids, we're not good to our workers, we're not putting Christ first, then we're deceiving ourselves. We've got to make Lord of all. You have not taken Jesus as your Lord and Master if you're not striving to obey him in everything each day. Pastor Craig came up here last week and he preached on praying and fasting. Why? Because he had a revelation of it during a conference. He was soaked in praise and worship and the Word of God for a whole week. Someone said to me the other day, says, how do we go from a conference of all that to And I said, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep, the three main things that why you are feeling so good about yourself during conference time, because one, you are praising the Lord every day and every night. You are worshiping the Lord every day and every night. And you're hearing the Word every day and every night. You don't need a conference to be hyped up. You can be worshiping and praising God every day. You can be hearing the Word every day. Jesus asked, so why do you call me Lord, Adonai, when you won't obey me? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Adonai, when you won't obey me? Now, I'm in no way implying that you're going to be saved through obedience, all right? I'm not saying that, because you and I both know that we've all fallen short in the past, and guess what? We're all going to fall short in the future. But I'm talking about committing yourself to obedience, because that is the way a child of God wants to live. He has been commanded to live and has been commanded to live by our Lord. Call the music team up, please. I know this is a real, probably probably a lot of you people are going to come up to me after and say, like, that message, Pastor Kerry, sucked. Hated it. But as I was putting it together, I suddenly realized that sometimes we can be easily fooled and our selfishness. Oh my goodness. Sorry, my selfishness of wanting to do things my way has caused so much grief in my life. I live a pretty good life. I've got a fantastic wife, beautiful kids. I love my church. But there's times when I make stupid mistakes because I've tried to do it on my own. I haven't made Lord Adonai Lord of my life. And we all do it. I have people come into my office going, oh, I've stuffed up. And it's always, when you stuff up, it is always because you have gone out of the protection of the Lord. You've gone out of His way and you've done it your way. It is one thing to stand here today and make those statements. It's quite another to actually live them out. Let's all make a commitment to each other today that with God's help, we will do our best to follow Him as Lord and Master, Adonai, in every single area of our lives. This week when you're praying and fasting, just have that and say, Lord, what is the best way? I love that one of the prodigals came home. We heard. We made contact. How can I communicate with my prodigal? Ask the Lord. Fast and pray about it. Oh, I need healing for my auntie or my husband or my wife. I need healing, Lord. Fast and pray. Ask. He deserves nothing less from us, doesn't He? Heavenly Father, help us become what You have designed and asked us to be. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to sing a hymn. Then you can figure out what hymn it's going to be. Rikay playing. She let the cat out of the bag. But I surrender all. You know, a lot of us have sung this hymn so many times. We can sing it with gusto and go, oh, Lord, I surrender all. But do you really? You know, some of you are probably going, hurry up, Pastor Kerry, I can smell food. I want to get out there to the food. I've been fasting all week and I said I can eat food today. Surrender it. Mean what you say and say what you mean. And I'm challenging you this. When we sing the words of this song now, say what you mean and mean what you say. If you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ this morning, come up to the altar and surrender all. Make God Adonai of your life. Capital L, little O, little R, little D. That's what He wants us to do. Let's stand.